Okay, so I don't even remember what text. Oh, I guess I'm going to have all the Great Commission texts. So if you go to the end of one of the three Synoptic Gospels, or if you go to Acts chapter 1, you'll be in the right spot for at least one of them. All right, probably the most important one is the Matthew 28. It has an 8 in it. I remember that. In fact, when I was looking it up, I did that last night or whenever it was that I did this. Might have been this morning. That might be why I'm having trouble remembering. All right, so now you're going to laugh at my first opening slide here. So, evangelism as a lifestyle. So, it's sort of like people, all kinds of different people, but I call this the Great Commission mindset. So what I want to do this afternoon is I want to talk about the conference I was at last week, the FBFI annual conference. The theme of our meeting was Reclaiming the Great Commission. And so there are four passages that are considered to articulate the Great Commission. A couple of them are mentioned more often than others, Matthew 28, as I mentioned. And I'm going to put them on our screen, and this will be our main screen for the rest of the message. So here's Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then Luke 24, verses 46-48, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And then last, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So that's our record of the Great Commission. Now, there are many things that crowd into our lives that tend to dampen the enthusiasm of Christians for the Great Commission. So for one thing, we have to earn a living. So we have to go to a job of some kind usually. And, you're working for somebody else. They have bought your time. So you have to do your evangelism mostly off the clock. Occasionally things can happen while you're working, but mostly it's got to be off the clock. Another thing that tends to dampen evangelism is the negative responses that you get. You may have had some enthusiasm, some desire to tell others about the Lord, and you speak to your friends or you speak to a family member and you get a negative response. Often you can get a hostile response about the gospel itself. People have had some exposure perhaps and they have decided they don't want any part of it, and it can become kind of disheartening. We're also very easily distracted by the many amusements of the world. There's so many things we like to do. We have our hobbies, we have our interests, we have the ever-present source of amusement and entertainment, our television and now the internet. And I've often thought of the phrase amusement when it comes to that. You know that word means not thinking. The ah is negative and muse is to think. So if you're being amused, you're not thinking. All right, and so I guess Queen Victoria was thinking when she said, we are not amused. So maybe she was thinking, right? But anyway, probably not exactly the same idea we have in mind here. Anyhow, but we are distracted by these things, you know, and sometimes perhaps we get ourselves too involved. I know with young men especially, it seems like the big perennial issue is the video games. And there's certain something about it that attracts the attention, but it can take a lot of time away from things that perhaps you should also be doing. But then we also have to say that We tend to be focused on ourselves and not on others. So what I want to do today in this sort of brief message, and this won't be a fairly long message, and I deliberately keep the afternoon messages fairly short because, as I heard a preacher say one time, in an afternoon, this is Ian Paisley, in an afternoon meeting, he said, the people are full of roast beef and unbelief. So we're going to keep it short because after you eat, it's harder to pay attention. So we're going to keep it short. But anyway, so here's the proposition for this message. Evangelism should be a top of mind item every time we meet someone in our community. So evangelism should be a top of mind item. Now, that will apply itself in different ways, but I'm just going to talk about, what I'm going to do to start with is to take the themes of evangelism that were talked about during our conference. So the president of the FBFI and pastor of Northwest Valley Baptist Church from the Phoenix area in Arizona, his message, Kevin Schall, his message was, do the work of an evangelist. And so the challenging us all to be busy. This is something we're called to do, especially those in the ministry. Often you'd think that the pastors would be the busiest evangelists of them all. But, you know, it's very easy to get yourself tied down with your administrative duties. There are lots of little details you can busy yourself with. There's the study that can occupy your time. And so there are many, many other things you can do besides evangelizing. So it's a good thing to remember, to remind ourselves, do the work of an evangelist. The next message was by Jim Berg, equipping God's people to disciple. And so he was talking from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which is normally a passage that we deal with inspiration on, but it also has that statement that the Word of God is profitable to reprove, correct. Let's see, I'm not saying that right, am I? What's the order? That's the only way. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. No, that's not right. No, that's not right. No, that you're in 2 Timothy 4. That is the wrong one. Now I've got to look it up because I want to say it right and not say it wrong. All the scriptures are profitable for doctrine. There we go. Teaching, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. There we go. So he's talking mostly about reproof and correction. And he pointed out that reproof is usually private. Right? So you're dealing with somebody, you're trying to disciple them, and maybe you're helping them form their thinking according to the scriptures. And maybe there's some area of their life that has, where they've sort of gone off the rails a little bit. So reproof. You may talk to them privately. But then the correction has to do with more public correction. And maybe there's a time when people need to be called out publicly to challenge to change. And he is especially talking about that in connection with the thing that has become the biggest part of his ministry. It's called Freedom That Lasts. Okay, so it's about addictions recovery. And so they have a ministry there in their church. Started when he met, I think it was a contractor who was having trouble with some kind of substances. And so they got talking, and he says, I've tried everything, and I can't help. And he says, well, he says, how about, so they just built this program of Bible memorization, group accountability, spending time together with Christians, and it has developed into a real tremendous ministry where people have come to the Lord, they've been changed, their lives are being reformed. And in fact, one of the fellows who has been changed by that ministry is now the director of the ministry and is being used by the Lord to teach others to run this type of program in their churches. So it's a great ministry, Jim Berg's ministry. All right, the third message was by a pastor named Dennis Wilkening. He has been a pastor up until just now in Washington State, way in the west end over by Idaho, in a small little town, somewhere around 2,000 people in his town, and they've, pardon me? East. Okay, the other west. The east, you're right. Okay, and the town is somewhere around 2,000 people, and their church is running around 500 people in the church. And he said, the way it has happened is by evangelism and creating a culture of evangelism. So using Matthew or Mark 1, 16 to 18 as his text. And he was talking about how not only is he very committed to being an evangelist, but to transferring that burden onto the people of the church and getting, coaching them and leading them to be evangelists. One of the things he says that he does is when he's at a restaurant and the server comes and he says to the server, we're going to pray for our food in just a moment. Is there anything that we could pray for you about? And it's just a little conversation starter, and often people will say something and then it leads to other conversations, and he's had a real tremendous opportunity to win people to the Lord that way. He says, I've only had somebody say no twice, both times in Seattle. He said, no, yeah. And I thought, I wonder if Victoria, what it would be like in Victoria. So I haven't tried it yet. I don't know if I have the courage, but we might try something like that. Right? But the point of it is to put evangelism on the top of your mind. And not just, and really, it's not just a matter of form. It's not the idea of, I'm checking my boxes, I'm doing this thing, but to really have a heart for the people that you meet, to really want to help them and to point them to Christ. And this is what he's teaching is a full mindset of evangelism all the time. You know, thinking about the Lord and serving and witnessing for Him. He's now going to be a professor there at Faith Baptist Bible College and Seminary there in Ankeny, Iowa, which is where our conference was held. And so he's moving from the pastorate to the professorship. We got a message from Tim Potter. He's a pastor in Ohio. He's the director of what's called ARCH Ministries. I forget what A-R-C-H, ARCH, stands for. But what he emphasizes in his church is evangelism and discipleship. And so they have a lot of the people in their church, probably the majority of them, are involved in a discipleship program where one group of people is leading and teaching the newer people and teaching them the Bible and teaching them the Christian life. And he called his message the organic spiritual lifestyle of the church. And he drew that message from the book of Titus. Then Jim Tillotson spoke a lesson on evangelism, John chapter 4. So he drew principles from the story of the woman at the well for evangelism. Jim was a former pastor of Meadowlands Baptist Church in Edmonton. And he's now the president of Faith Baptist Bible College. And he's the church in Edmonton, of course, if you know about it. It is one that has been very fruitful in its ministry. Part of it is because of the Lord using Jim, but then the others who've come alongside. And then now that as president of Faith Baptist, the school has been prospering. They're having one of their largest enrollments in history this coming year, somewhere around 500 students coming to the Bible College. So praise the Lord for that. Anyway, and his message, Jim is a very practical speaker, and I always do enjoy listening to him. I'm hoping to have him come speak for us in a couple of years when we host the regional FBF meeting. That's not the whole group of them, but it's just the ones in Washington and Oregon and BC and wherever else we can drag them in from. We're hoping to host that in a couple of years, and I'm hoping that Jim can come speak for us. I talked to him about it, and hopefully that will work out. Then we had a message from Nathan Messler, who is the president of the International Baptist Bible College in Arizona, in Phoenix area. And it's another school. It's a much smaller school. They're somewhere around 100 students. But there is a very high-quality Bible college. Nathan Messler is not only the president, but he's also a chaplain. I forget which branch of the American, it's in the reserve forces that he's a chaplain. He is a major in that, so he's fairly high up in that system. He's a tremendous preacher. His message, I would have to say, was probably the best message of the whole conference. And Nathan, when you meet him, he seems like a real mild-mannered, sort of down-home, quiet kind of guy. When he gets in the pulpit, man, he is something else. His message was, I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. What a tremendous message. He emphasized that the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority behind the word I, and he went through the Old Testament and showed what that meant, and what it meant for him to be the Son of Man, and what it meant for him to be the Messiah, and how when we are evangelizing, we have behind us the power of the Almighty Son of God. And so we have authority. And so that was quite, it was really a stirring message. And then the last message was by Josh Crockett, who is a pastor of Morningside Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. He is the leader of Open Door Baptist Mission. And his message was on home evangelism. So getting to know the people in your neighborhood, inviting them into your home, sharing the gospel with them, making it a way to connect. And in conjunction with that, I went to a workshop led by Dean Taylor, who is another of the professors there at Faith. He used to be the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Simpsonville, South Carolina. And he was talking about the method of emphasizing using your home in evangelism. You mentioned a book that I haven't read, but it's very similar to a book I read many years ago, that what these two guys were talking about, called Your Home a Lighthouse. So there are ways that you have to be committed, and you have to be reaching out and trying to involve people in Bible studies. Now, I don't know if Canadians are more resistant to Bible studies than Americans. They might be, and that kind of contact. I think that people are less resistant to Bible studies than they are to coming to church. You know, you can invite people to come to church, but you know, coming to church is pretty overt. Now, one thing that we have found recently is that if you let people know about our streaming services, the fact that they can watch online, they might tune in when they wouldn't visit. So that's one thing that you can do. But in starting a Bible study in your home, it has to be regular. It doesn't have to be in depth. But it has to be regular and has to follow a certain plan. And you can use that to help people come to know the Lord. And we're not looking for, by the way, when we're talking about evangelism, we're not saying that you buttonhole somebody, you get them to pray a prayer and then say, okay, I've won that person to the Lord, and maybe he never shows up again or she never shows up again in church. That's not what we're after. What we're after is disciples. We want people to really come to know the Lord and to go to heaven and to be evangelists themselves. So it requires a time commitment. It may require that we give up some of our time that we spend on other things. But we need to be busier than we have been. All of us do that, need that. Now, most of these messages will eventually come out on the Proclaim and Defend podcast. I know that some of you are subscribing to that. One of the messages, I forget which one, I think it was Dennis Wilkening's message, there was something wrong with the sound system, and I don't think it got recorded. So that's too bad. It was a very good message. But I sat up front, so I had no problem hearing. I always sit up front. I tell people, if you want to find me, that's where to look. That's where I am. And there's always a seat there. I never have to worry about sitting in somebody else's seat. I'm always, you know, that's a great spot. Anyhow, so the next thing I want to talk about, so that's the report. Those are the messages I heard. And it was truly a stirring conference. I will say this as well. Next year, it's about, the theme is going to be about mentoring young people in the Christian work and so forth. It's going to be held at Tri-City Baptist Church, which is near Denver, Colorado. Now, I know that for people here, traveling way across the states is expensive. And so forth. But if you can come to one of our meetings sometime, I think you'd find it a real blessing. The regional conferences are fun. They're usually close enough. But the national meeting is especially encouraging because you get to meet Christians from all over the place. And it's really, the preaching is very, very good. And if you can, might be a way, schedule your vacation in such a way that you happen to be in that city at that time. That would be, I think, a blessing to you. But anyway, so that was the convention. Now, the lifestyle of evangelism. Sometimes this idea of lifestyle evangelism, I gave our message the title, Evangelism as a Lifestyle. Sometimes it's criticized. The reason it's criticized is because some people say, well, you know, I just try to make friends with people. And I try to live the life in front of them. And in the meantime, they are very afraid of opening their mouths. Very afraid of speaking up for the Lord. And so they will say, well, you know, I'm trying to be an example. Well, that's all good. We need to be an example. We do need to live out the Christian life. That's true. But the gospel comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to learn how to speak about the word of God to other people. Seeing it only goes so far. Now, seeing it is important. Your life has to be consistent with what you preach. But seeing it and speaking it are two things, and speaking it is essential. You can't get the gospel across without speaking it. But I also think that the criticism of lifestyle evangelism misunderstands the point. You meet people almost every day when you're out in the community. You'll run across them at the stores, in the public places, when you're traveling, when you go for a walk. And you should cultivate a spirit of friendliness, and you should, in most of those meetings, you will have an opportunity to speak to someone, to say hello, to ask them how it's going. And there are ways that you can be able to turn the conversation to, spiritual things. You should have this as the top of mind, your thought. How can I turn this into an evangelistic conversation? So as you find out about someone, one of the things that you can ask is, do you go to church? What kind of church do you attend? Maybe they'll say something that will tell you about some kind of philosophy or way of thinking that is prevalent in their minds. And so you can say, that's interesting. How did you come to believe that? Right? Or what are your reasons for taking that point of view? And get them talking about their own belief system. And say, well, you know, that's interesting. What do you think about this? The Bible says whatever. And you can turn the conversation into a spiritual discussion simply by learning how to ask an open-ended question like that. The idea of asking for prayer requests, you know, sometimes they'll tell you about burdens that they're going through right now. You say, well, listen, could I pray for you about that? And often that will open them up to further conversation, especially as you show that you care. And so we mentioned that at a restaurant, but you can do that in almost any kind of situation. Another thing about having spiritual conversations is filling your talk with the Bible. In other words, you know the Bible so well that you often refer to it, or you speak in biblical language. Not that you have to, you know, say how dost thou do. You know, that's not what we're talking about. I'm trying to remember how you'd say it in King James English. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's just that things from the Bible come out of you. You tell some story. Maybe there's something that they say will remind you. You know, there's a story in the Bible about that. Or when I was in real estate, I often would get the occasion to quote the verse, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he goes his way, he boasteth. And that does open up conversations as well. Okay, so there are many, many points at which we can, the Bible should just spill out of us. That's the idea. And as I mentioned, invite folks to tune into our live stream or check out the past videos. I do think that's a non-threatening way to have people just sort of say, well, just check it out. You know, no obligation. Check it out. Let me know what you think. And then ask them what you think. You know, don't wait for them to tell you. Ask them, hey, have you had a chance to look? You know, and find out what they're saying or what they think. And then invite them to come to church too. That's another means of getting the gospel out. But there's many, many things that we can be doing as Christians in our community. Evangelism, here's a proposition. Evangelism should be a top of mind item every time we meet someone in our community. And I know that probably some of the things I've talked about you have done from time to time. But I'd like to challenge you, though, to be more on purpose about it than you have been in the past. And subscribe to the Proclaim and Defend podcast that we started, and you will get these messages eventually. It's going to take a little while to get them all filtered through. There's also other material that comes through on that source. I have to make one for this afternoon, actually. So that's my first job when I get home. But just keep busy filling your mind with Christian things and then spilling it out whenever you speak to people. I think that's the main thing that we need to be busy about. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had this afternoon and for this challenge. We pray, Lord, that as we think about these topics, that they would be something that really stir us up in our daily life, that we would be evangelists, those who speak the word and teach the word. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us some souls in our ministry here in Victoria. Thank you for all you're doing amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen.